I want to read to you from the book of Nehemiah. Chapter number 1. In the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 1. If that's your place, say amen.
Amen.
The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hechaliah. And it came to pass in the month of Kislew, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of the brethren, came, and he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and I wept and I mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and the terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy, and for them that love him and observe his commandments, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad and among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were you cast out unto the uttermost parts of the heaven, yet I will gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. I want you to turn with me into the book of Proverbs, chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. Very familiar scripture here. The Lord will help us, we'll endeavor to preach. Verse number 18. I want to back up. Let me read verse 17. Pay close attention. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And where there is no vision, the people perish. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and I wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. The Lord help me preach. I want to preach this morning on a renewed vision. A renewed vision. Would you stretch your hands this way and ask the Lord to help us? Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, God, hallelujah. Touch us now, I pray. Visit us, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. It is a very familiar scripture here that I have felt the Lord lay on my heart. And if you can look around, I want everybody to help me. I want to preach just what I feel here. And I may not be as forceful as you would like. And then again, I may be. But I just feel like delivering this the way the Lord has laid it on my heart. I want everybody in this building to look around this building for me now. Just kind of look around. So everybody stir. Kind of turn your head. You there on the platform. Find a place to look around. Out in this congregation. I want to preach on a renewed vision. The reason that I had you to look around. There's 129, 130 here. And I'm proud. And somebody told me one day, said, you ought to be happy with what you have. I shall and am. But when I have seen greater, anything less should bring us to prayer. Mm-hmm. For the Holy Ghost, I've got a short time to preach this, and I want to do it the best that I can. How do a city sit solitary that was full of people? How has she become a widow? She that was great among the nations, a prince among the province, how has she become a tributary? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she have none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her, and they have become her enemies. It's a very familiar reading here that everybody in this building is well acquainted with. The prophet Nehemiah and the purpose and the call of God upon Nehemiah's life and what he should become and what his purpose was and what he was set out to do for the people of God. Amen. There is 8 different visions of this word. Of the 11 chapters of the book of Nehemiah. I do not want to go into all of them, but if God should ever permit me, I'd love to take a time and deal with all 8 of them and just tell you how that this book of Nehemiah is a promise of God unto His people. Amen. I want to preach to you, if the Lord will help me, on the renewed vision. Amen. You can look around in this building and tell that even in among this church, there is a dire need of a new vision again. Hello. I mean, you can look around and tell that even among the common, that there is a desire that needs to be awakened, that needs to be stirred, that we need another vision again. Oh, come on here now. The Word of God plainly tells us that where there is no vision, the people perish. And where there is no sight, there is no way any man can have an understanding of where he's headed and where he's going and what's going to become of his choices. Amen. You see, it's men of sight who has went into the unknown and has pulled out the known. Amen. I'm telling you, there is things that you can look around and tell even in this church house this morning, and you say, preacher, it's just one of them mornings. Well, I want to tell you what kind of morning.
morning it is. It is a blind, groping morning. That's what it is. The vibrance of vision has left out of our eyesight. We're not as stirred as we used to be stirred. Can I tell you, and I do not want to go into the history of it all, but can I tell you that when Jerusalem and the rest of them got satisfied upon their leak, that's when captivity came into play. Amen. Did he not say it in the book of Zephaniah in chapter number 1 in verse 12? He said, behold, I will search Jerusalem with candles, and the men that are satisfied upon their leak, he said, I'm going to judge you and I'm going to look at you. Amen. I want to tell you in this house, whether it's from the youngest or to the oldest, there is a dying need for us to enlighten our eyes and get a new vision again. Look at the holes in our pews and look at those that used to worship are now become pew warmers. Men that used to stand on their feet and appalled at the word of God are now becoming men preoccupied with truthfulness. What is the resource of this problem? It is called a returning and a coming back. It is called a returning and yielding back to God and allowing God to enlighten our eyes. Men backslide when their eyes get dim. Men walk away from God when their eyes become cold and callous. Are you hearing me preach? There's going to be in this house the backsliding that has gone on. It's happened in our blindness.
It has become greater in our blindness. When a vision is gone, there is one thing that seems to be apparent, and that is misery becomes the looming factor over men. Amen. Are you hearing me? I've heard. I know it's going to get a little tough here for me to preach, but I feel the preacher in me. So you sit there and look at me all you like today. Men are captivated by hobbies and fashions when there is no vision inside of their life. Oh, come on here now. That's why you can spend hours out in your yard and minutes on your knees. That's why you can spend hours in town and shop and frolic all around the city. But when it comes to prayer, we gotta hurry and get it made and get it over with. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I want to tell you that prayer is the eye examination of the soul. Hallelujah. When man does not have a constant prayer life, his examination of his eyes begin to lie to him. That said, you can see, but can I ask you if you can really see? Why are you stumbling? Why are you falling? Why are you messing up? And why have you retreated? Which should have been going forward. God help us to get a renewed vision.
We are in a paralyzing hour. Never has there been the lethargy of idleness as it is in this hour. Never has there been a time when men's souls are hung on the forge of failure than they are in this hour. Are you hearing me? What's got a matter with us? I'll tell you exactly what's happened to us. We have reached a place where we have learned to become familiar with the darkness of our lives. Oh, come on now. Vance Havner preached a message many years ago. I believe it was back in the early 60s. I've got a copy of it. It may have been longer, or it may have been a little closer. I don't know. I believe it's the 60s or 70s. It was in the Founders Week at Moody Bible Institute when he preached that great message on getting used to the dark. What happens to us when we get used to the dark? We learn that what we stumble up against to, we learn how to back up and go around it. We set up markers in our lives that lets us know this is here and that is there. And we learn to grow through the darkness. But can I tell you that the church that is alive and the people that is alive is a seeing church. It is awakening church. It is a church that's on their feet. It's a church that is moving with God. It is a church that is thirsty for invitation. I knew it was going to be a little tight because it just seems to be the mindset of our generation. We want the victory before the commitment. You understand that this place, Jerusalem, had been besieged. Help me while I preach here. It had been taken captive. It had been lost by carelessness. I want to ask you a question. I ain't got long with some of you, so I better get to my point and get it out. Are you hearing me in this house? Look around you and see, my brethren, what have you lost in your battle? What have you lost in your carelessness? Can I tell you, well, it is the same tragedy. It is the same falling out as it was in the days of Joshua when they overtook the city of Jericho. It was the battle of overconfidence. That's where we're at. I can stay out of church. It ain't gonna cost me. I ain't gotta pray. It ain't gonna cost me. I ain't gotta seek God. It ain't gonna cost me. Can I tell you that confidence is a great thing, but overconfidence is a liability. I said it'll destroy you. Trust not in yourself and lean not under your own understanding. The arm of the flesh is too weak for you to lean on. If that arm was as strong as you said it was, you'd have never picked up that remote. You gonna talk to me? Or am I gonna have to do all the talking? If that arm was as strong as you said it was, you'd have never, ever reached over there and grabbed it and set up into the morning hours and watched it. Oh, come on here now. Oh, come on. What did it do? I'll tell you what confidence is. Man, I feel like preaching and I'm out here swimming by myself. And I literally mean that. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm a brave. I'm afraid. I'm preaching to a church who do not care whether they have a renewed vision and a desire to get up. Can I ask you a question? Can I get you to help me preach this? Can I get you to look around one more time? What is it going to be like if it's this empty now? Keeping your blindness. How long will you slumber? And how long will you sleep? A little folding of the hands is going to cost you afterwards. job. It's cost you your marriage. It's cost you your children. It's cost you your relationship with God Almighty.
I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet. But there's folks underneath the sound of my voice. I have been praying dearly for your soul and the Holy Ghost. I don't know where it's going to be. You know why I'm having revival? It's because I'm hoping that somewhere or another somebody's going to get to you. Because the Holy Ghost, I feel like it's letting me know I'm never going to reach you. I'm never going to penetrate your hard heart. Why? I'll tell you, some of it's because you can. And some of it's because I've known you. And some of it's because you become accustomed to your darkness that's around you. I'm telling you, in this house, that's why you've been bold in your heart to bite. That's why you've been bold. Can I tell you, the only resource that we have to hope is repentance. Thank God Almighty. I said it's repentance. If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. You must be honest. We need a land healing. It is such a paradox. It is one Wednesday night, and I rehearse. Ain't no sense in me preaching down the street. Wednesday night, the vibrance of the Holy Ghost, so real and so strong. Pray, Brother Mickey. God is able. And the vibrance of the Holy Ghost that was in that building. Man, oh man, it was enough to make a dead man stand up and raise his bony hand and say, truly God is able. But less than 24 hours, we lean on the arm of the flesh. And before you know it, we're back pivoting in the same direction we just come from. Hallelujah. What is it, preacher? I tell you what it is. Confidence is a wonderful thing. But mister, when you get overconfident in the flesh, it becomes a liability in your life. Do you understand what you mean, preacher, when you say a liability? It becomes your problem. It becomes your situation. It becomes your fault. Can I tell you that when Israel stood still, it was stood still over a small city, over a place they should have been able to conquer. It's not Jericho, but it's Ai. That's what's killing us. It's the little things that's eating us alive. It's the putting our eyes out. It's the shutting us down. Help me while I preach. I feel the hand of heaven. We gotta wake up now. Renewed vision. Can I ask you a question? What have you lost in your scramble to just to survive? As strangely as it may be, I told my wife laying in bed the other night, you can op out. You know what op out means? Huh? It means you can just get out of it and just forget it. That's what some of you've learned to do with your battle. Just op out. That's the reason you give in. I'm going to tell you something. When a man's really saved, he talks saved. He walks saved. He acts saved. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
smile and this little fat face of mine. Look at me. He walks it, he talks it, he sleeps it. He don't want to lose it. But when a man does not have it, he wanders around with it. I'm telling you, in this house, that's why some are not in church today. It's because they're confident in their flesh. It finally overrode them. It finally got the best of them. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
You see, the vision has left us. It's gone from us. I reminisce in my mind. And I shall. I don't say this to be sarcastic. I'm that close to putting this microphone up and dismissing this service. Because what I prayed through over, I can see some of you tongue talkers. Your faces are blank and empty, and your eyesight is gone from you. Oh yeah! You say, preacher, you shouldn't do it. I'm asking you a question. Who wants to work in a field where the ground is too hard to plow? I told my wife the other morning, probably 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, we was laying in the bed talking. I said, I battle that we might need another man from another place to come here and wake this place up. I said, because I got Ken sitting on these pews. They can no longer see me as the preacher, as the Nehemiah for our day. They see me as who they want to see me as. Toot your own horn, say what you like. I'm going to say it anyway. Come on now. That's the reason you can fall out with him so easy. That's the reason when you're not in his presence, you can say Noah instead of Brother Noah. Down into my own blood. Shout now and tell me the Holy Ghost is lying. Ain't nobody come to me and said nothing. But be not deceived. God is not mocked. The root of bitterness that's in your house, it ain't no more a root. It is a tree. And if it's not pulled down and the roots of it all together, I'm afraid the ruin is about to get greater. I prayed. This ain't a cop out. Listen to me. I said, God, stir us to an awakening. And then I begin to feel, how can I stir people who resist stirring? Call a wedding and we'll plan days and weeks and months for a wedding. Call for a baby shower. And it's not until some of you women get expectant, then you want everybody to show up to yours. Come on now. Shout now. The only reason is because when iniquity abounds, the love of many wax cold. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, I'm telling you in this house, say what you like. There's some of you men gripe and complain about your finances until it's about to come threadbare. I'm telling you, you hear me? We're not as in better shape as you want to say you are. And you know why it is? It's because it's greed. It's the greed of us. Oh, that we can get our sight and say, God help us to get our vision back for missions. Get our vision back for our church. Get our vision back for souls. Get our vision back. Let men get the Holy Ghost. That we have a genuine stirring in our souls again. Hallelujah. Oh, God. He knew. Renew. 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 Our vision again. You say, preacher, you're on it till it's threadbare. I want to ask you a question. You that lay out a church, you service over anything and everything just to sit around and fellowship. Oh, I got things I needed to do at the house. I'm telling you, get our vision back. Get our vision back. You know what you're doing, Daddy, when you tell your boy, I'm staying home, y'all go on to church. I've got things I need to do here at the house. You're taking the house and putting it precedent above the vision, above the purpose. And you know what happens? We soon lay down a legacy that we teach Malachi. It ain't that important to go to church. It ain't that important, but I'm telling you, I must see through this dark world. I must see through this emptiness. I must see through this pressure. I must see through it. How can I see through it? Enlighten mine eyes. Let them go silent. Lest I sleep. Thou sleep on death. When David said, Lord, Psalms 13 and 3, lighten mine eyes. When I wrote that, the Holy Ghost came to me. He said, if it had been enlightened mine eyes, it would have been the fact that there'd never been light. But because he said, lighten mine eyes, he said, let me see as I have saw before. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? David knew that the less of light would only spell death and darkness. And that's why he said, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Oh, hallelujah. Can I tell you, you may not like my preaching today, but I feel the unction of the Holy Ghost. Do you understand that David said, if I'm sitting in darkness and I've lost my vision, I'm just as good as dead. I'm just as good as empty. I'm just as good as nothing. Help me while I preach. God, stir us to awaken it again. You must agree with me, and I'm in a hurry. You must agree with me that we are living in one of the most hopeless feelings and depressed hours that's ever been known unto humanity. Never has there been not an awe of excitement, but an awe of what disaster as we are in today. Now come on here. I read to you in the book of Lamentations chapter 1 where it began to tell the story. And it said, how doeth the city that was set solitary, that once was full of people, how has she now become a tributary? All of her friends have dealt treacherously with her. What is her friends? It was her government that disappointed her. It was her problems that disappointed her, and it was herself that disappointed her. Can I tell you, will this church become its own paralyzing? I feel the Holy Ghost to preach. Will this building paralyze itself? Will this church put its own eyes out? My God, help me preach. Will we blind ourselves by the carelessness of our living?
You hear me? We have been let down by our government. We have been despised and rejected. Listen to me. Until our hope of an astounding victory from our military as well as from our trusted leaders have only left us. I don't know what's happened here. Has only left us in a place of hopelessness. Come on now. Brother Wendell, I don't know what you've done back there, but something's gone wrong here. Do you hear me? Focus right back here. Our government has put our elders on an edge. I was off last week, and my daddy called me. He said, have you heard the news? I said, no, I've not heard anything. Take some of the highs out of it. I said, I didn't hear anything. You know what he told me? He said, they're about to pass a bill that's going to cut into our disability, into our Social Security. Can I tell you that one of the downfalls of the day of Isaiah was that the government, the head of it, it was sick and it caused a disaster. Can I tell you, it may not like me after this morning, but I promise you before sundown tomorrow night, I'll have a U-Haul slap full. Are you hearing me? I'm going to tell you, if the world be dark and the church be dark, how great a darkness is it? But dear God in heaven, if we're to be a city that's lit and set on a hill, I say, God, stir us. I say, God, awaken us. Get us alive and renew our vision again. Bethel, you're not backing me up. You're a back of the truth. And the reason you ain't, the truth is far removed by my eyes. I remember a time when our vision was great, Brother Stanley. I remember you shouting while I was preaching. Shouting right off the pew. Renew our vision. I'm not a prophet, but I'm telling you, if God ever told me to preach anything after the Holy Ghost, if I die and meet God in judgment today, I feel like this is going to be a pivoting message for this entire church. Are you hearing me? I'm telling you, he said that was great among the nations. How has she now become solitary? How has she become a tributary? You know, the only reason some folks go by to see her now is to remember her past victories. Yeah. They don't go by to see her. They don't go by to see her because of who she is. They go by to see her for what she used to be. You know the reason why they visit Gettysburg, Vicksburg, and Chickamauga? I reckon that's how you say it. And all the rest of them, they don't go there to see the battlefield. They go to relive what once used to be a battlefield. Is that what we want out of this church? We want folks to come by and right back say, that used to be a hole in this church. I'm telling you, great God, I'm telling you, there was a time when that church had the fire, when that church had the spirit, when the people were aflame, when men prayed, men saw God, but now her vision has left her, and she is a blind church. Oh yeah!
Now she's got powers, but I don't hear nothing out of her. I don't see nothing out of her. She is a blind, dead church.
Sleepiness and slumber has took over until captivity became a cinch. This is not in my note, but it's in God's note. Woe unto them that go down to Egypt for help. Where you been asking help from lately? Your job? Your stocks? Your bonds? Watching the Wall Street? Making sure all the profits and the margins are lining up? Where is your trust? Is it in your hourly pay? Or is it in your daily trust? Woe unto them that go down to Egypt for help, and they stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not to the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. It's become a non-praying church. It became a non-praying church. Woe unto them that go down to Egypt. Not only was Jerusalem besieged, but I must point out a couple of things as I hurry. She was not only besieged. Besieged is one thing that would be grievous for any man to bear. But when you burn their gates, it was symbolic of showing of their weakness. Taking the city and shutting the gate was one thing. But when you took the city and burned her gates, you told the world she's weak in every aspect. Hallelujah. She can't resist temptation because her gates are burned. That's why she stomps into the city. You're into helping me? It's quite okay. Not only is her gates burned, was a signifying unto her of a loss of strength, it was a sign of authority of something else over them than themselves. I feel the Holy Ghost, and I didn't get this out of no book, not one sentence of this came from a book. It came off my face with God. It's sad that you get to hear a preacher preaching. You have to wonder what book he got it out of. He gets up and he dazzles the minds of men with big words and fancy sayings until when you get down to it, it's all book learned. But I'm telling you, this didn't come out of no book. You said, preacher, might better got you one. I may have, but right now I'm feeling too good talking about this one. When her gates were burned with fire, it was laid in unto her as a reproach that her enemy had authority over her. The Bible said if a man cannot rule his own spirit, and you preachers, You ain't got no business toting the Bible if you ain't the head of your house. Because the Bible said if a man cannot rule his own house, how can he rule the house of God? Come on now, stare at me. Got it down to a crawl. I got 7 minutes left with some of you. And then you're getting up no matter what God's doing and you're leaving. And I'm here to preach to you in this house. If we don't get our vision back, our problems are fixing to get worse and worse and worse. Not only did she lose the sight of her protection, but she lost in the midst of her problems. She looked around and she began to reminisce of what a house used to be like until depression set in on her. And when it set in on her, it made her feel hopeless. Is that where you're at? Let me give you a little comfort here. Come to the piano. Is that where you're at? Can I tell you, and God help know where to say this, it would never be in my desire to want to leave here. But if it meant for your betterment, I'd leave tomorrow. You hear me? But I'm convinced that some of you would only get spiritual for a little while. But you would resort back to your vomit just as soon as you got comfortable. I know the Holy Ghost is with me. If I've ever known He was with me, He's with me today. I wonder when the dog is going to get tired of licking the vomit. Not only was her government her destroying factor, you know what let us down greater than anything? I believe it was my wife, was it last night? You told me last night in bed. Sometimes that's the only time we ever get a quiet moment to talk. It's just before we fall off to sleep. She said, I believe it was Mayo called and said, one of their planes got shot down yesterday or the day before or whenever. And lost 20 men. You know when the Word of God said that they trust in their chariots and their horsemen because they're very strong? You know what's bothering me? I'd be out of order if I called names. When he rebuked them because they trusted in their horses, in their chariots. A man's chariot in the king days was a sign of his substance. It was a sign of his strength. The greater the chariot, the more power and prestige that man had. And the footman that was about him, it told the strength of his legacy. It told how strong he was. But you hear me in this house? I'm afraid we're becoming horses and chariots and footmen. Until when we lose an Isaac, we look around and say, but look what all we got. Can we afford one lost soul? It's no secret, Trish. Terry's backslid. The men around here at work wouldn't know it. Is it
comfortable for us to look around. To look around and say, but look what we got left. Oh no. They trust in their men because they're very strong. Andrew, you may not like me after today, but your seat will remain vacant until the drippings of Calvary drops all over you. It ain't just a battle. When a man's in a battle, his desire to stay saved stays in. Oh, I've got anybody that's ever fought a battle? I fought battles, but buddy, I'm telling you, I ain't never want to give up. I never wanted to turn around and walk away from God. Not one bit. Are you hearing me, Larry? I may be underneath the pressure of it, but leaving here and leaving the fold of safety is the furthest thing away from my mind. Man, I don't even want to think about it. I don't even want it in my thought life. If there's any form of blindness that I would love to have, make me blind to that. I'm telling you, you say, preacher, can you reach that place? Yes, you can. For the Bible said, if they had been mindful of the country from which they came out, no doubt they would have returned somewhere or another. They put their eyesight out for the world. I gotta hurry and quit. I'm not even off the first page of notes here. But you hear me in this building. The word renew simply means to make new or as if new again. To give new spiritual strength. This is the ones I like. To cause to exist again. To reestablish. To revive. To begin again. And to take up again. Or to resume again. Nehemiah was setting off in a distant land. In the land where he was, there was prosperity. But in the land of his brothers, there was captivity and chaos. Are you listening to me? So when Hanani showed up, listen to me. When Hanani showed up and walked up to where Nehemiah was, Nehemiah looked at him and recognized, that's a brother from the homeland. How's my brother? And Hanani said, oh, we've recovered some of the captivity, but those that we've recovered, they're afflicted. They're depressed. They're cast down. The walls are torn down. And the gates are burned with fire. And you know what happened? I got to looking at this. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. And you know what the name Hanani means? Anybody know what it means? My grace. That's what Hanani means. My grace is sufficient. So when Hanani showed up and began to tell all the dilemma, it was grace that was bearing the news and telling, hey, we can make it. We can overcome it. We can get beyond it. We can renew it. We can recover ourselves. But we need help.
You hear what I just said? Hanai has told us to report. We need help. We need help.
Come, honey. Get ready real quickly. Stand with me all over this house. I do not say this to be rude or mean. But I do not think you're listening to me. I do not think that 50 minutes of preaching is too long of a time when we're needing our eyesight back. Help me, Jesus. When there is no CNI, men stumble in darkness. Can I preach to you in closing right quickly? The men of that city said among the rebel, the broken down walls, the burned up gates, until her hope of getting up was gone. They saw everything too big to conquer and too big to overcome. Are you listening to me? Don't you listen to me? Make your children mind. I want you to hear me well. But it took a man that has sight that could see through the rubble, and he could see the city be restored. So when the rest of them stood there and said, "Oh, the loss is so great. The loss is so terrible. It is so bad." I love the prayer of Nehemiah. "Oh God, remember now thy servant and the covenant of thy promise that you have made unto them." And listen to what he said. He wasn't being rude, but he pulled the archives out. And he said, "Remember when you told Moses that though they be scattered, you would reach your hand out even under the heavens and gather them back in." What are you saying, preacher? Is there hope for my loss? If I could get my sight back, I could see the hand of God reach out and grab my loss and bring them back in again. You see, it's not until you can pray. Please listen to me. It's not until you can pray. I wrote it down because when the Holy Ghost spoke it to me, I'm going to say it just like God laid it on my heart. "Mama, you must see your boy, or you must see your girl saved, and pray as though the promise is on its way." I see it. When the news came, can I have just a few minutes? When the news came, and it told Nehemiah, the Bible said that he grieved. And he began to weep. And he wept and fasted and prayed. And then he went unto the king and he told the king, he said, "Will you please give me a time?" He said, "For my homeland, there's too much to preach here in one morning, is in great need of trouble. The city is burnt.
The walls are down and the gates are burned. Can I talk to you just a second? When Nehemiah left his comfort zone and got into somebody else's trouble, that's when God began to work miracles. After the Holy Ghost, Brother Billy, I am calling to you as a deacon of this church. Pray for me right now. Some of you don't give a hardly anything to missions. And that's why your body's sick. Your family's in trouble. That's why you're chaotic. And that's why your lives are in a mess. There was this woman one time, was a very wealthy, wealthy woman. Told her the millions that she had. In a short time, brother, she lost it all. And it went down to nothing. And she went into a boarding house. And she had to stay in a boarding house. Though saved and in poverty, her heart was set on mission so much. She gave everything she had to missions. And resorted to a boarding house. I read the story where she reached into a place in her life and she said, though poor I may be, she said, I've got to do something for missions. You know what she did? She started sewing a quilt together. And she started making quilts. She started sacrificing. So when she made her first quilt, she gave it over to Japan. She gave one over to Africa. She said, I don't have no more money, but I can make something for her. The story went on to tell. I know you ain't going to shout to this, but the story went on to tell that after all of her finishing products, she had women in other parts of the country picked up where she left off at and started a legacy of making quilts for each other. What are you trying to preach, preacher? If I could get you to see, I'll get him to see. And if I can get you to see, I can get him seeing. If I can get his eyesight back, it'll get your eyesight back. And if I can get your eyesight back, he's going to get his eyesight back. You understand what I'm trying to preach to you? These blind, miserable people who could not see above the smoke went on a trip and found a man in their old land and said, Nehemiah, we need help at home. We need help at home. And so they employed unto them a seeing man. Did you hear what I just said? They employed unto them a seeing man. And he came back with them, to make a long story short. If we lay among the broken dreams and the lost hopes and the defeats that we have so well lived, we will never rise out of despair. But being sure unto you, when there came a seeing man, the eyesight of one man began to put eyesight in everybody that was sitting in the rubble. Oh, preachers and cooks, you ever cooked anything and just anticipated everybody loving it? I've done that in preaching. And you ever just washed dishes and said, man, they didn't enjoy it near as I thought they would? Yeah, it works the same way in preaching. It looks to me like if you had a lost family member, you'd be the first one to say, God, give me my eyesight back. It closed, and as she gets ready to sing,
I wish I had another hour. I feel that strong in my spirit. And I want you to notice, when Nehemiah got finished praying, that wasn't the end of the story, Brother Stanley. I don't tell you something, I don't want to hurt your feelings. I love you. I think you're one of the best male singers we got in the wholeness movement. I don't mind telling you. You listening to me? I don't care what you think about it. You may like that long-haired hippie guy, Penrod, is that what they call him? Beard? You ain't even in the ballpark of being saved if you can take precedent above them over God's Holy Ghost-filled people. So tell them all I said it. Bring him here, and I'll tell him real men get haircuts. Hallelujah. But you listen to me. It ain't your talent we're needing. We're needing a man that can see past the songbook, get up and sing to us. Preacher, brethren, I love all of you. Holiness is right, and you're going to fall out with me because you're too holy for me, or I'm too loose for you. But I'm telling you, be careful when everything you get up to preach is always holiness, hair, makeup, and jewelry. I know some of y'all are going to say amen because that's about the only time I've about got any of you to say anything. Huh? I want to tell you something. It's having eyes to see with. Open us up. I'll close with this. Get ready, baby. I can just about see it. I can just about see it. I can see Nehemiah getting out walking, looking over the city, and seeing the burnt. And he can hear the moaning of the lost. Finally, when morning came, he called an assembly together and he said, boys, this is how it's going to be. We're fixing to start block by block, brick by brick, and we're going to rebuild these walls. Hallelujah. And you know what happened? I'll tell you exactly what happened. Trouble came. But trouble never can stop a seeing man. I don't care what kind of trouble it is. It'll never stop a seeing man. It'll stop a blind man anytime because he wasn't expecting it. But a seeing man can see it before it ever gets here. And he says, I ain't stopping. I ain't coming down off this wall. So when Sam Ballard said, come on down, he said, oh no, not at all. I'm too busy. I know some of you ain't going to shout to this, but come on and try it a little bit. I ain't about to stay out of church on Friday night because I just want to. I'm too busy keeping my eyesight. I'm not staying out of church on Sunday because I just want to. I'm too busy keeping my eyesight. Oh, come on, you ain't helping me now, are you? When Sanballat said, Nehemiah, Nehemiah, get down. He said, you go back and tell him you're too busy to come down. I tell you, I want to be too busy preaching. I want to be too busy singing. I want to be too busy worshiping. I want to be too busy saying amen to let the blindness get a hold of me. I want you to step out in the name of Jesus. If you're in this building, you say, preacher, I want my sight renewed. There's no